Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable, launched by the Academy of American Poets in April of 1996, 30 years ago. National Poetry Month is a special occasion that celebrates poets' integral role in our culture and that poetry matters. And it matters in our communities. Over the years, it has become the largest literary celebration in the world. Well, these celebrations are taking place in our communities, and thanks to the poet laureates in those communities. And we talked to two of them in our listening area this morning about the public and personal responsibilities of the laureate position, which include engaging the public with readings and workshop and other poetry activities. Jay Rogoff is the Saratoga Springs Poet Laureate. Mike Jerkovic, am I right on that correct pronunciation?
Yep.
Mike is the Ulster County Poet Laureate, and it is a great pleasure to welcome both of these laureates to our program this morning. How are you?
We are swell. I am swell, anyway. I don't know about Mike.
I'm doing okay.
Excellent. Wonderful. There's several things I want to get to as we talk about all of this. Mike, you've been in this position for how long now?
About a year and a half now.
Okay. And you started off at the beginning of the year.
Right, right. So I'm a newbie.
So let's begin with you then, Mike, of what it has been like over that year and a half of having this responsibility within the community.
It's really been very interesting because I've been very fortunate that Ulster County is what Ulster County is, which is the heart of the arts in Lower Hudson Valley. And they've been very open to my initiatives and to helping me broadcast whatever it is that I come up with. So I've been very fortunate that way. One of the things that I've been doing on a pretty almost weekly basis is a program known as Poetry as Protest and Political Action. And it just brings folks into the libraries or the bookstores so that we can talk about our differences. Sometimes they are poetry readings. Sometimes they are community discussions. And I find out that that's exactly what the people want. They want a community discussion.
I assume you find the same thing.
Yeah, very much so. What I've been doing in Saratoga, I've been organizing events that are really mainly poetry events, of course. And for example, on April Fool's Day, we had an April is the Foolest Month reading at the Whitman Brew Pub. That drew about 65 people. I invited a dozen poets whose work has made me laugh out loud at some time or another and had them all read from their work. And we had a great time and drank some beer.
Beer always brings in the crowds, doesn't it? Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not just about us, as Mike is suggesting. Tonight, there's a reading at the public library, Saratoga Springs Public Library at 6:30, we're doing a favorite poem night, which is something Robert Pinsky started back in the 1990s. And that's just people from all walks of the community coming in and reading a poem they love.
And tell people why they love it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really interesting of why it speaks to you. What it is about those words that speak to you.
Yeah, I have a dear friend who's reading Shelley's Ozymandias because it was her father's favorite poem.
And I know you are, Jay, but you are too, Mike, of creating work as a result of this position.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And what has that been like? Because that's almost like a deadline kind of position that perhaps a poet wouldn't normally have.
Again, I've been fortunate. They've asked me to do a couple, I guess, poems by commission or whatever you want to call them.
For a lot of big bucks, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, man, coffee money. At least
our positions have no salary and no budget for programming, so it's all a one man show. I'm sorry, Mike.
No, you're arts.
No, you're absolutely right. Although I will say that I have approached the county and the Arts Council down my way about having some kind of laureate award so that we can tap into something if we're putting on a reading and want to bring readers around,
right,
for gas money or whatever the case might be, or just to buy cookies and cake, you know what I mean, instead of dipping into our own pockets.
Mm-hmm. We're not talking millions here. We're just talking about money for either gas, which is a substantial amount of money these
now
days.
Now it is, yeah.
Or a cookie.
Right.
Your new book is Circling Planes, Mike, and this is was this already in sort of being worked on prior to?
Yes, it was
being a laureate.
Yes, it was. I was working on the collection. I was about halfway through it when they gave me the laureate ship, whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And I was very fortunate once I finished it that an Ulster County publisher came to me and he said, "Hey, listen, we can get a lot of play, you know, a lot of headlines and play if you can get headlines for poetry, God knows, but maybe we can get a lot of play with the idea of an Ulster County publisher publishing the Ulster County Poet Laureate." So I was like, "Okay, yeah, let's go for it." So here it is.
And your latest book is?
My most recent book is Loving and Truth, which is a few years old now.
Yes.
It's my new and selected. I'm putting things together for a new book, which will come out sometime, someday.
And will it be sort of a, I guess this question is for both of you, but a culmination of the work that you're doing as a result of this time as laureate?
Yeah, it will partly do that. This is a little complicated, but I probably will have a section of laureate poems, and I'm thinking of laureate as meaning laurel leaves, because that's what it meant. You wore a crown of laurel leaves if you were an Olympic hero or if you were a poet, and the laurel leaves.
Both of you failed that test.
Right, the athletic, yes. And the laurel leaf exists because the laurel tree exists, and mythologically, the laurel tree exists because Apollo is chasing Daphne, who prayed to the gods, who turned her into a laurel tree. So I think the book is probably going to be called Embarked. And it will deal with embarkations. My mother is very old and dying, and also with the idea of turning into a tree, and that has to do with the public responsibility of the poet.
When we talk about that responsibility, I want to get into that. Mike, you mentioned that there is politics in your work. It's a political sense.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that much of the poetry can be quite political?
I would hope that it could be and that it would be. Yes, absolutely.
And do you agree with that, Jay, or is it a slightly different tack that you have?
I think poetry can be quite political. My work historically has not been terribly political, although I have written poems in response to things like 9/11, in response to the war in Iraq 20-some-odd years ago. But I find myself lately in this position, in addition to writing public poems that I've been asked to do. I recently wrote a poem for the centennial of Yaddo. I wrote a poem for the inauguration of the mayor and the city council. But in addition to those public poems, I'm finding my responsibility more and more to respond to what is going on in our world, all the craziness that's happening.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So, I mean, where we are right now, and when I say right now, I mean April 9th, 2026.
That's it.
Of where we are when it comes to a shaky ceasefire that we talked about for 2 hours this morning. It seems as an artist for both of you that it couldn't, that could not not have an effect on you as you're creating art.
You would have to be stone deaf for it not to. I don't know how anybody could possibly avoid it. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand that.
How do you find it resonating with you?
Angrily, I would say.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can work some humor into it. I do like to use dark humor from time to time, so I will do that. You can get sarcastic about it. You can get as curse-laden as you want to about it.
But not on this show.
Not on this show. I get it. But the thing is that we have somehow, as a people, have got to drown those voices out. And that, I think, is me and Jay's responsibility and all laureates and artists out there. We got to drown those voices out or else we're all going to go crazy and pretty much wind up dead probably, but, you know, without getting too crazy about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, the other day I found myself writing a poem in response to the President of the United States' statement that a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again.
Can you read that for us?
I could. It's called Persepolis. Persepolis was a great city in Persia, which is, of course, Iran. It begins with a reference to Christopher Marlowe's play Tamburlaine the Great. Tamburlaine conquers the world, and he's ready to make peace with it because there's nobody left. So, Persepolis. At the end of Marlowe's Tamburlaine the Great, after riding in triumph through Persepolis, Tamburlaine takes truce with all the world, a world he's turned into a charnel house, kings slaughtered, blood pooling in the gold relief of their shields, leaving total defeat, a stage reeking with corpses, his prize for peace. It's a dark Marlowian joke, but less grim than the jokers for whom civilization merely means tall towers bearing his name in gold. Nothing else remains, no pursuit of happiness except such devastation, making his own people weep while wiping out Persian history and Darius's mausoleum.
How quickly did that come to you, given that those words from the president came just a few days ago?
It came quicker than poems usually come to me. I wrote it lying in bed that night in the half hour or so before going to sleep, and then I spent about an hour or two the next day revising it.
But as Mike indicated, is that an anger? Is that an inner, for want of a better term, an inner fury?
Yeah, there's no real tone of fury in the poem.
No.
It's very restrained. And so the tone, I believe,
yeah,
it
how'd
is
you do
more
that?
it's more I know. It's more sardonic, more sarcastic. I mean, for one thing, the poem is rhymed, and so the task of recording your anger and your emotions on the page also have to work hand in hand with the craft that you're working in a certain meter and that you have to make the poem rhyme in a certain pattern.
We are talking to two incredible poet laureates in our region this morning. Jay Rogoff is the Saratoga Springs Poet Laureate, and Mike Jerkovic is the Ulster County Poet Laureate. And Jay, I was wondering this earlier, but you are just for the city of Saratoga Springs, not the county.
That's correct.
Saratoga County.
That's correct. Although I am organizing activities elsewhere, I'm part of a reading in Ballston Spa on Sunday evening at 6 with two other wonderful poets, Barbara Unger and the Afghani-American poet Hajar Husseini.
Oh, great. Wonderful. And both been on this program.
That's at the Brookside Museum in Ballston Spa.
All right. We'll get to that, and I'll tell you a little bit more about those events coming up. Mike, I would love for you to share with us a poem.
All right. Being that we mentioned the whole political thing, this is for climate change, I guess. And this is called Red Knots. The roof of red knots, North America's most common subspecies, flies the equivalent of the moon and back in its lifetime. Now it faces extinction as we overharvest horseshoe crabs for the terminally corpulent. Tell me again how we are not to blame for everything dying on this planet. Please, tell me again. It wasn't clear the first time.
Wow.
Mm. What I admire about that, Mike, is that it has the anger in it again, without expressing it through outrage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without yelling at us.
You got to temper it sometime.
I love the use of corpulent.
You know, I mean, because if we don't temper it to some degree, it just becomes wild ranting, and then it turns everybody off.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd like to just spend a moment talking about audiences, and when you do events, and obviously the events are set up, they have their topics and so forth. But when you allow people to talk about poetry and similar to what you were talking about earlier, Jay, of talking about their favorite poems and so forth, or what resonates with them or how they respond to it. What is that experience like when you are at a reading and you are with other poets, perhaps, of the audience's response and what they get from that moment?
I honestly do believe it just becomes a bigger sense of community. Really quick, I've been running a poetry program for 27 years now down my way called Calling All Poets. And about 7 or 8 years ago, I was on the brink of just leaving it behind. I was just like, this, it's too much work, never home, and all that kind of stuff, right? And you know the money I'm making on it.
Yeah,
all.
Right.
But as the audience was coming in, 15, 20, 25, 30 people, as they're walking in, they're all like, oh, man, I haven't seen you since last Sunday. I haven't seen you since last Tuesday. I haven't seen you since the last. And then I just realized that, man, it's not just a poetry reading. It's a community that we're building. And the stronger we make that community, the better we're all going to be. And I've just done it ever since. Money or no money.
Because you're really in Saratoga Springs with this just a few months old, building this infrastructure for what will be a laureate program.
Yeah, there is I'll call it a roster. I was about to call it a stable, which would be appropriate for Saratoga, but I don't want to insult my fellow poets.
The metaphor, sure.
Right. There is a roster of about 30 poets who are publishing in Saratoga, which probably is a larger percentage than in anywhere else in New York City. But who are really writing good poetry, and I'm trying to engage them in various projects. We've got a project at the Tang Museum coming up at April 19th.
Just had the Tang on, and, mm-hmm. and you're doing, this is Poets in the Museum.
That's right. I've got 13 poets who each wrote a new poem responding to a work from the Tang's permanent collection, which is on view in a selection of the permanent collection that's on exhibition right now.
When a poem, well, let me go back, because I'm not sure, I think I let you off the hook in answering the question about the audience.
But probably.
But talk a little bit about that response, of what you notice about that, and what you, of how you regard that, the purpose of the audience and the reaction of the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as a member of the audience, I always admire finding out how someone else's mind works. Right. Browning in Fra Lippo Lippi has a line about what artists do is lending our minds out to each other. And so that builds a kind of sense of intellectual community. And we all get a sense of what's happening in this poem that then ripples throughout the audience. And as a poet reading my work, that's kind of what I want to see. I want to see lights come on in the audience. I want to see recognition. I want to hear laughter if it's a funny poem, if I think it's a funny poem.
But, you want it to land.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. There is a little bada bing about some of the
sure.
poems that you write. So I do want readings and I want workshops, and I've started teaching workshops under the aegis of the laureateship to really build that sense of community, as Mike was saying, and give a sense that poetry is a way of communicating that sometimes works almost subconsciously, but also can unite us in the sense of a common purpose, not necessarily a political purpose, but just the larger enterprise of figuring out what it is to be human and how to get better at it.
When I'm so struck by just this overall idea of, well, National Poetry Month is important because it does put a spotlight on poetry and has for the past 30 years. But really what the two of you are doing in your communities, and there are poet laureates throughout the country and throughout mm-hmm. the New York State, but that's really making it, bringing it to bear on a regular basis and to continually remind people of its importance and why it matters.
Yeah, it's there all the time. I mean, I appreciate National Poetry Month, but I don't really know what it means. Mm-hmm. Here we are. We're going to concentrate on this month and then move on.
Right.
It's with us every day. you pick up your...
Gives radio shows a cheap excuse to have two wonderful public rights.
Yeah, but there's got to be a better reason than that.
And that's why the Favorite Poem Project is so good, because not everybody writes poetry, but a lot of people read it, and a lot of people have poems that are important to them that they carry around with them, and maybe they've memorized them, or maybe there's just a handful of lines that float through their minds when they're up in the morning showering or shaving.
Or they're reading their scripture, or whatever. It's all connected. Or, you know, you got the girlfriend... I was going to say something else. You got the girlfriend mad, and, you know, you go and get a card. The card's got poetry in it. I mean, we use it for everything, every day. And sometimes I actually think the idea of National Poetry Month cheapens it in a way, I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yes, I understand that. But I also, I do think it's, and that was the point I was trying to make of by having, this seems to be, I mean, not that there's a competition here, but a laureate program in communities seems to be more important in the sense of that there is a connection within the community itself and allowing events and people to gather to talk about poetry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is not just during 1 month, but throughout the term.
Yes, making people aware of it, making some of them realize that this is something that they can do, this is something that they can understand, but also that, as Mike was saying, it's all around us. It's all around us, and we have to stop and read and listen.
Let me go with events coming up tonight, 6:30. Favorite poem reading at the Saratoga Springs Public Library. You can come and read your favorite poem, and tell folks why you love it. Then on Sunday at the Brookside Museum in Boston Spa, there will be a reading by three featured poets, which you mentioned, and that event coming up on Sunday at 7 p.m. And then on the 19th...
6 p.m. That is 6 p.m.
It's 6 p.m. Yeah, I apologize.
No, it's not you. The museum changed the time.
Okay, 6 p.m. Excellent. You be there an hour early. If you're there at 7, you'll miss it. And then on Sunday the 19th at the Tang Museum, the aforementioned Poets in the Museum, and you've got events as well.
I have a book launch tonight in Poughkeepsie at Arts Mid-Hudson, 6 p.m., 669 Dutchess Turnpike in the one beautiful town of Poughkeepsie. I'll be reading from Circling Plains, of course, and introducing the publisher of Bushwhack Books. I also have one of the Poetry as Protest and Political Action programs this coming Sunday, April 12th, 2 p.m. at the Gardner Library, and that'll have former Ulster County Poet Laureate Kate Himes will be joining me for some protest poetry and discussion, and I'll be reading at the Ellenville Library and Pine Hill Libraries sometime next week. I can't remember when it is.
Wonderful. Well, we'll get the dates, and people can find out more. It's the book is Circling Plains. It's beautiful. Beautiful book. Bushwhack does a great job. Really, really nice. Nicely done. And it'll be celebrated tonight. Circling Plains by Mike Jerkovic. Also, all of those wonderful events taking place. Jay, thank you so much for being with us. Jay Rogoff is the Saratoga Springs Poet Laureate. Mike Jerkovic is the Ulster County Poet Laureate. Gentlemen, what a great honor to have you both here.
Joe, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. A delight to have you here.